Right, good morning, everyone. A little bit of an explanation. This service is entitled Thy Kingdom Come, to tie in with the, what I'm going to talk about later, actually, the worldwide Thy Kingdom Come initiative that is happening now. Some of you might have taken part in the circuit prayer vigil and prayed for various hours. I think one was at some hideous time this morning. And so everything we're doing today is really focused around the work and the core of the Thy Kingdom to Come initiative. And I will explain a bit more about it if you don't know later on. Our call to worship is slightly different. It comes from the Poetry Bible, so it is actually based on some words from the Old Testament. Prayer, which is what the Thy Kingdom Come initiative is about, prayer is all about dialogue. And the call to worship is a dialogue with God. And it's sort of us and how we sometimes are when we come to worship, and God when he's here to meet us.
Learn to be still.
Be still within, and you will know that I am God.
Lord our God, how can we know you? How discern your righteous will when your voice is drowned and silenced by a world that's never still? We are deafened by the roaring of our ever-rolling wheels, and the screaming of our music drowns the sighs of your appeals. For our minds are sore bewildered by the news world's ceaseless chatter, and our bodies are exhausted by life's unrelenting clatter.
Then be still. Be still within, and you will know that I am God.
Lord our God, how can we hear you through the storms of hate and pain? Can the whisper of your mercy rise above sin's hurricane? For our ears ring with the thunder of the beating drums of war, and the engines of might's vengeance shake the earth and fill the air.
You can hear me if you listen. With your hearts in tune with mine. For beneath the sounds which deafen lies a spirit's secret sign. For I speak in voiceless suffering to the tears of the distressed, and I speak in awful silence through the eyes of the oppressed. So, be silent, all you nations, and be still, all humankind. I am with you in the earthquake, in the fire, and in the wind. But my way is love, not hatred, and I work with gentle power, in the courage and compassion of the servants of the poor. And to you who learn to listen, I will speak with words of peace. I will be your strength and refuge until wind and fire shall cease. So, be still, and you will know. Be truly still, and you will know that I am God.
We're now going to sing our first song, which is Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Our first prayer is a prayer of affirmation. There are some bits I'm going to say and then some responses for you, and your response at the end is a bit bigger. But let me warn you, if you can't say the response, fair enough, but almost everything we do in the rest of the service relies on you having done so. That we worship one God, Creator, Christ and Holy Spirit, in whose image we are made, to whose service we are summoned, by whose energy we are renewed. This we believe. That it is central to the mission of Christ to respect the earth as God's possession, to rejoice in the diversity of human culture, to preserve human life in all its beauty and frailty, to witness to the love of God for all people and all places, and to invite others to share that converting experience. This we believe. That through the power of the Holy Spirit, the persecuted shall be lifted up, and the wicked shall stumble. The hesitant prayers and hidden actions of God's people shall change the course of human history. The ancient words of Scripture shall startle us with fresh insight. This we believe. That God has called the church into being, to be the servant of the kingdom, to be a sign of God's new order, to offer a foretaste on earth of the magnificence of heaven. This we believe. That Christ, fully aware of our differences, prays that we may be one, so that the world might believe. This we believe, and to this we are committed, for the love of God, in the way of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're now going to listen to a version of the Lord's Prayer, which is called Your Kingdom Come. And this was written by Pete James, who's a musician, and he wrote it for last year's Thy Kingdom Come, and sadly, we didn't know anything about it. But having discovered it, I thought this would be our Lord's Prayer. So I think it's got the words up, they're very small, underneath his singing, but let this be your Lord's Prayer today. apologies to those who already know quite a lot about Thy Kingdom Come. There's lots of information on the website. It's got its own website. There's links with the Methodist Church. But I've pulled together a brief history of what it is so that you've got an idea. And all I can say is, I wish I'd known this last year when I'd heard the phrase Thy Kingdom Come being bandied about. Because to be honest, I didn't get it at all. And hopefully this will give you a bit more of an idea of what it's about. So, Thy Kingdom Come, it's a prayer initiative for evangelization. It started in 2016 when the Archbishops Justin Welby and John Sentamu invited every parish in the Church of England to pray, particularly between Ascension and Pentecost. And they were to pray for people to come to know the love of Jesus Christ. When they sent the invitation out, it was initially just to the clergy. But the response was astonishing. Lots of whole churches got involved. And that year, over 100,000 people took part. By 2017, every church of an England diocese was involved. But it didn't stop there, because Christians in more than 85 countries from over 50 denominations and traditions just joined in. Last year, this had gone up to 114 countries and 65 denominations, and more than 1 million Christians were all praying for people to come to faith in Christ. And last year, the Methodist Church became a formal partner in this. I didn't know that last year, but we're in it now. So this year is the fourth year. It runs between this year, the 30th of May and the 9th of June, so we're kind of in the middle here. And it's well on its way of becoming a global movement of Christians in prayer. Justin Welby said this, "Prayer moves us closer, not only to God, but to one another. It connects us with those whom we otherwise cannot see. Prayer breaks down division. In prayer, we can take each other's hands and find our safe stronghold. It doesn't matter if you pray formally or informally, just pray." So what would happen if every Christian felt inspired and able to share the love of Jesus with their friends and neighbours and colleagues and communities? What kind of transformation would that bring in families and societies and nations around the world? Today is your invitation to be part of this wave of prayer, to make Thy Kingdom come, and to find out what would happen for yourself. Okay, so you've got a handle of what we're about, I hope. I'm going to just talk a little bit about the words, Thy Kingdom Come. Not too long, but just a little bit. So you can just think about the actual words that we'll be using. That phrase, Thy Kingdom Come, you probably realise, comes from the Gospels, from Luke and Matthew. And it comes from the King James Version, because it's got that old-fashioned Thy word in it. And it's found near the beginning of the model prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, that Jesus gave his disciples when they said, "Teach us to pray." So it's part of how Jesus intends us as his disciples to pray. The prayer is addressed to God our Father, and that governs everything we understand that follows. So, we're going to have a word, a reflective story, and another word about Thy Kingdom Come. So first, the easy one. Thy. I won't let Ian have the floor on this one, because Ian would talk to us all day about the word thy. It's, as you probably know, it's an archaic form of the word your, and in the song it was translated as your. But sadly, some of the detail of that is lost when we translate it, because thy specifically means the singular possessive, belonging to one being alone, and in that case it's God's. It reminds us that everything that follows, the kingdom, is of God and belongs to God and no one else. And when we say, "Thy kingdom come," we're speaking an act of sacrifice and submission, because we acknowledge that everything to do with the kingdom is for, about, emanates from, and is under the authority of God, and only God, because it's God's kingdom in every way you can imagine. This is a tricky one. Kingdom. I'm hoping it will stay up there. Ooh. Kingdom. I'm going to need your help for this. So I'm probably looking at you. I'm probably going to need all your help for this. So we'll see. And I don't know whether I've got enough hands, so I might have to find a way of juggling this, because this is one of those things that looked great on paper. Okay. Jesus told everyone he met the secrets of the kingdom of God. It was a kingdom that was all around. I need four people, please, to start with. Any four people. Right, could you stand there? Could you stand sort of over there-ish? That would be lovely. Joel, can you stand over there a bit? Helen, you go and stand over by the water, but don't fall in. Raj, can you go and stand on the top step, please? Right. And can you show everybody what you've got? They've got tea lights. Okay. This kingdom was all around, and it was still to come. Jesus told all his friends what the kingdom looked like. He said it was a different sort of kingdom from any sort of kingdom they had known before. He said it was like a net full of different fish. Can I have another volunteer, please? Could you take that out of there, please? You got a goodie, yeah. And would you like to stand sort of somewhere over there? And would you like to just read that little bit that goes with it?
The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away.
Thank you very much. Jesus said the kingdom was like seeds sown in a field. Somebody else, come and hold the seeds sown in the field. And you've got a bit to read as well, Christine. Have you got enough hands? Right. Oop. Can you take that one?
Kingdom, seed sown in a field. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. The one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown.
Jesus said the kingdom was like a mustard seed that grows enormous. This is more than one mustard seed, by the way. Somebody like to come and do the mustard seed? Fida. Come and stand somewhere in a space. And you've got a bit to read as well. I can hold it further away if you want.
Kingdom, a mustard seed. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and become a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches.
Okay. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven was like a tiny piece of yeast in a bunch of dough. Somebody come and do the yeast and the dough. Thank you, Helen. I'll give you that one as well. Thank you.
Kingdom, yeast in dough. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough.
Jesus said the kingdom was like finding treasure in a field. Who would like to come and have the treasure? That's all right. We can hold things any distance you like. Okay.
The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field. When a man found it, it hid it again. And then his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Matthew 13, 44.
Thank you. Well, I'm doing the next one. Would you like to open that box and just prove it's got treasure in it, please? Jesus said the kingdom was like finding a precious pearl. Who would like to come and do the precious pearl? All right, Sue. There we go. Okay.
Kingdom, a pearl. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Right. Would you like to open the box as well? It's a big one too. Jesus said the kingdom was like a great party. It's a big party, this. Someone come and do the party. I suggest you read it first and then deal with the party afterwards, if that makes sense.
Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests.
Go on then. We need you to make it a party, Linda. As long as you point it over there, it's fine. Whoa! Thank you. Jesus told them all to go and search for the kingdom. And he told them to pray for the kingdom that was to come. And even after he'd risen from the dead, he still talked about the kingdom. This kingdom that was all around and yet still to come. He showed people with his life what this kingdom is like. He noticed people. Somebody come and open this one. There's nothing to say for these, so you just have to come and do and open the box. Thank you, Robin. You don't have to put them on either. Oh, you can if you like. Yes. Oh. He healed people. Somebody likes to come and hold this one. Thank you. I suggest you don't open this one because you'll never get it back in. Okay. He fed people. Somebody like to come and hold this one? Thank you, Maggie. He set people free from what was holding them back. Ooh. And because you're set free, you don't have to put them on. And he told them who this kingdom was for. It belonged to little people like children. Who'd like to come hold the children? Somebody come and hold the children. Thank you. Well, I need you in a minute, so don't go back again. Just come and be somewhere here. He said it belonged to the little people, like the poor. Thank you. He said it belonged to the little people, like those who suffered for what they believe in. Somebody likes to hold the people who are suffering. Thank you. And the only way into this kingdom was to be born again. Lord Jesus died on the cross, and he rose again, so that everyone can enter this kingdom that was all around and was still to come. And this kingdom grew and grew. Need four more people. It's got to grow. You can almost be where you are if you like, because you can be as far away as you want. There we go. And Jesus' friends saw for themselves how great this kingdom was becoming, and they wanted everyone to know that they could be in it too. So with the hope of the Spirit, they prayed Jesus' prayer, "Kingdom come." And they told everyone about this kingdom. And the kingdom grew and grew. And if you've got a tea light, could you turn it on? It's got a little switch at the bottom, and just hold it up. And even today, the people who follow Jesus still pray for that kingdom to keep coming. They love living in that kingdom. They show in their lives what the kingdom is like, and they can't stop telling other people about it. And that kingdom is still growing and growing. It's growing like the mustard seed. Who's got the mustard seed? Hold it up high, your mustard seed. It's rising like the bread dough. And it's increasing like the field of wheat. I wonder, what do you like best about this kingdom? I wonder what puzzles you the most about it. I wonder, when you look at these symbols of the parables, what is already here and what is still to come? And did you notice this kingdom? It's all about people moving from where they were to somewhere in the kingdom, being involved, becoming engaged, but always adding and increasing. Thank you very much. If you've got something from the box, would you like to tuck it in a runaway sort of thing? Thank you very much. So that's the kingdom bit. And the kingdom doesn't really ever get packed up, all right? That's just a logistical exercise. So you've got to imagine, really, that the kingdom is still out and we're still adding to it almost indefinitely through the service. And the last word, "Thy kingdom come." And "come" is the doing word. And what does "come" mean? It's quite tricky, isn't it? It means moving towards the person who's speaking, getting closer in time and space. It shows something that's happening, taking place, arriving and being reached. And it's in the present tense. The kingdom come is now, but it's also ongoing into the future. And if you use the word "come" as an interjection, it can express encouragement, urging someone to get from where they were to here and now. To express "thy kingdom come" is both to acknowledge that the kingdom is here and now, and to will it to fulfillment in the future. So when we sing or say or pray, "Thy kingdom come," we celebrate God's will, present and happening, and we engage with being part of growing it to completion. And we're going to do that now as we celebrate God's activity of the kingdom, singing our next song, Praise is Rising. And listen out for where the word kingdom comes and what it says in the song.
First reading from the NIV translation, Luke chapter 15, 11 to 16. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." Hang on. Let's hear that in modern English from the Liberator. Jesus tells the third in the trilogy of Deep As You Like stories. This factory owner guy has two sons, right? Kid brother gets it into his skull he's had enough. He goes to his dad, and as much wishes him dead. Dad, I want my chunk of the inheritance, right? The dad sits down, does the sums, sells some shares, and hands over the boy's part. The son doesn't even hang around to hear his dad's top 10 tips for survival. Within weeks, he's in foreign climates, spending the night filling the glasses of the designer set with his liquid assets. He has such a great time, he can't even remember it the next day. Of course, the money goes down the toilet. So do the friends when they realise he's skint. Oops, double jeopardy. There's a major recession. He's beginning to wonder where the next meal's coming from. So he surfs around, finds a site called www.worstjobspos.coz. He scrolls through the search results and ends up cleaning out the pigsties. He's craving the gunk the pigs are scoffing. He's considering the option of munching in on the trough and munching away on the carob seed slurry. Well, no one else was offering. Thanks be to God.
I want you to think for a moment about who might be the younger son that you know. Don't be limited by gender and time. Hopefully the second version of the reading Ian gave you might make the context more up to date and a bit wider. I'm going to read some words of a reflection called Driven Away, which are based on that reading. And as I'm reading it, see if you can think of or identify maybe people you know or know of who kind of fit some of these things. What does it mean to be in a distant country? It means to be free from responsibility, wandering far away from the influence of family and familiar. It means to exist apart, autonomously, in an alien, even a hostile environment. It means to lose your native vocabulary, your mother tongue, among the busyness and the clamour of a foreign language. It means to be surrounded by the tempting seductions and general acceptability of another culture. It means to be in a world, but not really of that world. Ultimately, in your heart of hearts, it means to feel vulnerable and far from the presence and protection of your loving Heavenly Father. What does it mean to be in need? It means to be impatiently and illustriously independent of anyone and anything. It means to be self-absorbed, self-serving, self-indulging, self-confident, and then to have spectacularly run out of self-reliance, transient popularity, fickle friends, and a world that is never enough. It means to be and not to be, to never truly be your whole envisioned self. It means to be without, poverty stricken in body, mind, and spirit. Ultimately, in practice, it means to take from all of God's blessings and then to turn your back on any relationship with Him. What does it mean to feed the pigs? It means to fall, to topple from your pedestal and descend into the deepest muck and mire you can imagine. It means to be humiliated, to have to stoop even lower at one with dust and dirt. It means to hit rock bottom at full speed and bear the dreadful injuries of impact. It means to become, in the eyes of the world, a nobody, nothing. It means to no longer live, but to scarcely survive in an all but lifeless fraction of your former self. In reality, it means to have learnt the hard way, to feel the sting of sin, seemingly hidden away from God's gracious gaze. What does it mean to have no one give you anything? Well, it means to believe and receive as if you are actually out of sight and out of mind. It means to be abandoned, isolated, cut off in a situation totally of your own making. It means to have already taken all things away, so you have nothing remaining to return for. It means to experience all the repercussions of complete carelessness that actually you yourself once exercised. It means to have been wasteful and to now be obliged to suffer just deserts. Ultimately, in fairness, it means to reap what you have sown and to be missing out on the mercy of a seeking son and his watching, waiting Heavenly Father. What does it mean to long for the pig's pods? Well, it means to be so hungry that you consider virtually unthinkable degradation just for a brief moment's respite. It means to concede, to heed that gnawing longing deep in yourself for something, anything better than this. It means to feel the acute starvation of being unfulfilled, and yet to want to endure, to want to live. It means to abase yourself, to eat humble pie, to confess that in your own strength, you will always be left unsatisfied. It means to perceive and profess your own folly, prepared to perform proper penitence. Ultimately, in your soul, it means to know you are lost, incapable of finding your own way home, and so to need to be found, hopefully by a loving, light-shining, welcoming and rejoicing search party. Steve's going to read a poem as a prayer, and it's called Phoning Home, and it's based on some words from Psalm 30. So listen to it as a prayer and hold in your mind the people you've had come to your mind when you were listening earlier.
I'm here, Lord. Can you hear me? I'm lost, Lord, in an alien world, like a dropout from heaven. I've fallen from the light into the darkness, and the clouds of glory have long gone. I'm phoning home because I need to hear a friendly voice, some reassurance, comfort, hope, some guidance and advice, anything. I need to know you're still there, and that you know I'm here, lonely and afraid. Answer me, Lord. I'm holding the receiver to my ear. Can you hear the tone? It's urgent, Lord. I'm waiting, Lord. Can't you hear it ringing? Ringing. 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 Ringing.
And as we continue to hold those lost people in our minds, we're going to stand and sing our next song. And imagine that we're singing it for them.
written by a 17-year-old boy. When the night fell, when the stars shone, when the thin clouds dusted, when the air was cold, when the world was quiet, I sat on the grass and thought about who I was and what I did, and I was scared. I thought about how I was wrong, how carelessly I hurt people, how I was cruel to those I love. I looked at the stars searchingly, and I found myself asking God to forgive me. I sat in silence, listening to everything, but hearing nothing. Then God touched me and lifted me. I walked home and found a note, a message on my door. I forgive you, my child. Love from the Father.
And now it's your turn. One of the things Thy Kingdom Come ask us to do is to pray for five. And I've got some little cards. We didn't actually get ours from them because they didn't send any, so I had to make my own. But we've got some little cards for you to use now to do just that. So let me explain how it's going to work. We'll come and give you a card in a minute. There'll be a time of silence for the Spirit to prompt each one of us as to whom to pray for. There'll be some time for you to write inside the names of your five friends. On the screen, there'll be a set of very short prayers up for about 20 seconds each and then rolling. And when you write one name in, look on the screen and silently pray that prayer and put your friend's name in it. And if it changes partway through, it doesn't matter. You can just continue with the next one. And we'll leave it on for 2 or 3 minutes, I guess. And at the end, there's a prayer that we'll put up and we'll say all together. So this is your praying time. Can I ask you to get on this side? You have your card open in front of you, and don't worry if you haven't managed to write all your names in yet. We're going to say together a prayer on the screen in a second, and I'll warn you now, there's a gap that after the word friends, you can say the names of your friends. Now, only you can decide whether that's appropriate to do. So if you feel it is, say the names out loud. Say some of the names out loud. If you feel it might not be, don't. But we're all going to say them together, and to be honest, we're going to be listening to what we're saying and not what somebody else is saying. So let us pray. Loving Father, In the face of Jesus Christ, your light and glory have blazed forth. Send your Holy Spirit that I may share with my friends, Christopher, Kay, the life of your Son and your love for all. Strengthen me as a witness to that love, as I pledge to pray for them for your name's sake. Amen. It is not an instant fix. When I went on the Thy Kingdom Come training day, the lady Jean Kerr, who was running it, told us some very moving stories of the years, in fact, in one case, the decades, in which she had been praying for particular people. And yes, in one of the cases, certainly, she did get an answer to prayer in that that person met with Christ before they went to glory. But you're in it for the long haul. And so, for our next prayer activity, I'm going to give you each what I hope looks like a little forget-me-not. And the idea of the forget-me-not is that you write your five names, one on each petal, and then you fold that into the middle, and then you come and put your forget-me-not on the water here. And then you wait. And you just wait until your petals unfold to remind you that as you pray for these people, it's going to take some time. And you're going to have to be patient, and you're going to have to keep praying while God is at work. So we'll come round and give you a forget-me-not, write your names, fold it up, and when you're ready, just come and hopefully there's enough space. You can stand, put your flower on, and there'll be enough space to just stand and wait for yours to unfold. Whether you're in your seats or whether you're standing watching, because I'm going to read some words of a prodigal blessing. So these words are for the people we are praying for. May you always know where the road home begins and have the courage to walk the first mile. May you never be too far from a lifeline and never too far gone to dial. May you know that the God who pursues you is a hunter whose bullets bleed mercy. May artful accidents of grace explode at every turn of your journey. May choices you thought you'd made at random turn out to be key to moving on. May the darkness that sometimes surrounds you prove to be the moments before the dawn. May you bathe in the light of a prodigal son and be nourished by a generous earth. May the struggles you meet make you stronger, and even old wounds bring new wonders to birth. May the unplanned kindness of strangers bring to mind long forgotten song. May the unexpected kisses of a star-filled sky remind you of where you belong. And even if you never return to find peace among those you have so loved and so hurt you, may you seek your soul's Redeemer and connect with your Creator and make your home with the Father who waits for you. Amen. Worship group, we're going to sing a song, Hear Our Prayer, at this point, and we're going to sing it at the end as you go. Because I want to finish with one other set of things for you to think about and do. We've thought a lot about other people and the people who who are lost and in need. But where are we in all this? I have two very short stories for you. The Spanish have a story about a father and son who became estranged. The son left home, and the father set out to find him. He searched for months with no success. Finally, in desperation, the father turned to the newspaper for help. His ad read like this: "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." On Saturday, 800 young men called Paco showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their estranged fathers. How many of God's children are needing love and forgiveness and are still estranged from their Heavenly Father today? And Rob Parsons was told this story by a priest he met while sitting on the Gower coastline. "In a village near here, there is a large old house. An elderly lady lives there all alone, and every night as darkness falls, she puts a light on in the attic. Her son left home 25 years ago, rather like the prodigal in the parable, but she has never given up the hope that one day he will come home. We all know the house well, and that bulb must occasionally need replacing, but none of us have ever seen that house without a light on. It is for her son. God is like that elderly lady, waiting and waiting for his lost children to come home. And we are called to be those lights shining in the darkness to lead them back. The last prayer activity I'd like you to think of taking part in will happen in a minute. Linda is going to come and read what was called a prophecy. And this came from the Thy Kingdom Come training event. And when I read it, I was really struck by how real it is for the world outside these doors. So in a minute, Linda will read, and at the end, there'll be some instructions on the screen as to what to do next.
Prophecy. I was walking along with the Lord, just wanting to be a child, holding on to my Father's hand. We came to a cliff edge, and as we often did when we were kids, we lay down on our tummies and looked over the cliff edge into the valley below. I expected to see the usual thing: green pastures, trees, beauty. But what I actually saw was the darkness of the world. I could see bullying and war and discrimination and poverty, famine, injustice, refugees queuing, knife and gun crime, the whole gamut of evil of the world. I sensed the Lord was telling me that I had to get down into all of that and to try to do something about it. I felt totally overwhelmed and asked how even I could get down the cliff face, never mind what I could do about it, once I was there in the middle of it all. Then I noticed some steps cut into the cliff's edge that were so steep I had to be carried down them, as they were too big for me to manage. and I saw that on each one was carved a word. Hope, compassion, integrity, faithfulness, sincerity, love, truth, consistency, tenacity, prayer. Having finally arrived in the middle of all this blackness, I saw I'd become a tiny flickering flame that lit up just a minuscule part of my surrounding. Then, as I looked up, other people came with their tiny flames. Like mine, they were almost insignificant. And yet, together, we began to light that particular part where we were standing, and it wasn't black anymore. It was making inroads into the darkness. What I am learning was extended by watching tea lights on the altar. A couple of them were obviously on their last legs, wax-wise, and they were flickering, but they were still doing their job, and their light was still shining. We are all still so useful.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 15, verses 20 to 24. So after the long, hot trip home, he turns the corner of his old street. His dad spots him and runs out into the street in his slippers, throws his arms around him, lifts him up, spins him round and kisses him. The son starts his speech saying, "Dad, I've messed up with you and with God. You don't have to think of me as family," but the dad cuts in, telling his secretary, "Arrange the biggest street party ever. Get the boy a tuxedo, some smart shoes, all the gold accessories, blow the expenses budget, get the best caterers booked. Let's party. Because my son was as good as dead, and he's come back. We had the lost boy signs pasted up around town, and now he's turned up." So they kick off the party.
Our final hymn is "Hear the Call of the Kingdom," which reminds us that we have to be bearers of the light and that we have to do the reaching out. And as we sing this, we're also going to take up our offering, because that's part of our reaching out and part of our being the light.
Thank you.
we include some words that we've been asked to pray today as a conclusion of the circuit prayer vigil. God of wind and fire, we pray for the coming of your Spirit once again to move within the church, inspiring all your people to prayer and action in Jesus' name, as we join with Christians around the world in the movement, Thy Kingdom Come. We pray that all will clearly hear your message of love as we turn to you. We ask for your blessing on all who offer prayers and all who are prayed for during the circuit vigil. We ask you to receive and bless these gifts and the givers. We ask that we may become a people of prayer, confident of your power to bring to fruition all that we pray for according to your will. We ask that as we go, our lights will shine in the darkness, that we will be faithful and bold in praying for our five people whose names we've brought to you today. We ask that you keep us praying for them however long it takes, till they come and know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, and your kingdom truly comes. May the fire of your love and the wind of your Spirit move and inspire your church to share your love with all the world. In Jesus' name, Amen.